Good morning. I'm going to shuffle chronology here a little bit. This being the second Sunday after Epiphany, I'm going to use the sermon I prepared for the first Sunday after Epiphany, which was also out of chronological order because I realized we don't often have a Sunday fall on the Feast of the Epiphany proper. So I pulled a sermon for the time it did in 2001. And this sermon was given by the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr., who was Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church at that time. Again, it's for Epiphany, January 6, 2001. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. About 9 years ago, the National Gallery of Art in Washington mounted an exhibition to mark the 500th anniversary of Christopher Columbus's voyage in 1492. I had never realized that Columbus believed that one major purpose of his explorations was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to places which had never heard it before. Preaching the gospel to new groups of people would, in turn, hasten the end of the world and the return of Christ to earth. One of the paintings in the exhibition, which caught my interest particularly, was a traditional Christmas creche scene painted around 1500. It featured a baby in a manger, St. Joseph, St. Mary, some shepherds, and three other visitors carrying gifts. One of the visitors was a black man dressed in a wild-looking costume who also had, as I recall, spiky hair and decorations on his face. The exhibition's catalog said that that man represented the natives of the Americas the first explorers, like Columbus, met. The native-born American was placed at a manger to convey the idea that Christ came to earth to save everybody. And everybody meant everybody, especially the newly discovered exotic and strange people of the New World, who didn't look like anybody else in the world of the European Renaissance. The idea that God wants to save everybody on earth is the theme of the season of Epiphany, which begins today as Christmas ends. From time to time, things happen in our lives which catch our attention and tell us things that we need to know and bring us up short about things we are thinking of doing. We call these moments of revelation epiphanies. They are events where God is trying to get our attention. The story that the church tells to get across the idea that God is trying to get everyone's attention is St. Matthew's account of the visit of the wise men from the east to the newborn King Jesus. On Christmas Eve, we hear about how angels told Jewish shepherds that the Messiah, their Savior, had been born in Bethlehem. On Epiphany, we hear how a star guided astrologers who were not Jews to the new King of Israel. Those two stories taken together show us not only that God wants everybody to be saved, but also that he shows himself to all people in a language that they understand. It would have been pointless to send angels talking about a Messiah to the Gentile wise men, and it would have been equally pointless to try to communicate with the Jewish shepherds through a star. God reaches out to each one of us in the way we are most likely to notice and understand. Our job is to be on the lookout for him and to be expecting him to try to get our attention. God's great epiphany as the Savior of everyone in the world is chopped up into little bits of epiphany that are always ways he reaches out to each of us. The visit of the wise men reveals that King Herod doesn't know much about the religion of the people he's supposed to be ruling. When the wise men tell him a new king has been born in Israel, he has to convene a convention of all the religious advisors to get him to give an answer any average Hebrew would have known. Herod asks, "When the Messiah king we are waiting for finally comes, where will he be born?" His advisors reply, "In Bethlehem, silly. The prophet Micah says it will happen there, and it is only logical that it happened there because the Messiah is going to be a descendant of King David, and Bethlehem is the royal city of King David." Herod is not at all pleased to hear that a more legitimate revival was now on the scene, so he tries to use the wise men in a campaign to eliminate the newborn king where he can gather the following. The wise men outwit him by going home by a route that does not take them back through Jerusalem. Herod, nonetheless, has all the boy babies in Bethlehem who are 2 years old and younger killed to eliminate the threat. The epiphany there is about the lengths to which people will go to maintain their own positions and the vicious cruelty in the hearts of human beings. Later on, God calls St. Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. It was his task to take a small Jewish cult, which believed that Jesus was the long-expected Jewish Messiah, and turn it into an international religion whose membership was open to anyone and everyone. In his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul says that God revealed to him something that no one had known before. That was that the Jewish Messiah was going to be the way everyone else in the world could join the Jews and become part of God's chosen people. God is not mad at the Jews, even though most of them do not believe in his Son. They are still his chosen people. They are not pushed aside, but in Christ, everyone else is invited in. Now everyone who wants to be chosen can be chosen. All one needs to do is to choose to be chosen. St. Paul explains that the visit of the wise men to the baby in Bethlehem means God loves everyone. God does not want anyone to be left out. God wants to save everyone, everywhere, and take us all to heaven. Our task at this great season is to ask, how is God reaching out to me? And then, how do I want to respond to him? He is, after all, the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people, Israel. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.